I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Everywhere we go, people want to know who we are and where we come from. So who are you and where do you come from?
My name is Sabrina Hill and I come from Cork. Rebels, woo!
You're so terrible.
I'm from down south. The next thing I was thinking, you're going to ask me, what do I do? And I'm like, I don't know anymore what I do.
I know that. And you know what? It's because lots of people are asking. But before we get into that, and I know you share so much with us online, and we love that. But I just want to get a little bit of insight into who is Sabrina Hill? Who was Sabrina Hill? And is she still that person today? Or how have you grown from that? So we'll start at the start. So growing up Cork, where in Cork, and how many in the family and so on?
That's really cool that you actually said that, because the old Sabrina, because I do feel even the last couple of years I've transitioned. So the old Sabrina, well, she still lives close by. So born in and raised in Fromoy, okay, to Mary and Mike, my lovely parents. I have one brother, Michael, who is about a year and a half younger than me. So just the two of us, pretty small, but very extended, as in very close to all of our cousins, aunts, uncles and kind of stuff like that. So grew up, went to a local country school and then went to Loretto. I am a convent girl. And then literally kind of like when I just finished up at school, I really didn't know what I wanted to do. And it's so mad because I kind of have a son who's in a similar position now. But I fell into hairdressing. I think my mother tried to do this whole thing where, what's it called again? Reverse psychology. Mm-hmm. She tried to do reverse psychology and said, oh, you said when you were younger, you'd do hairdressing. And I was like, did I? So it just like it embedded in my head and off I went. I worked in a local hair salon. Enjoyed it, really enjoyed it. I think talking to people.
Yeah.
I enjoy talking to people quite a lot. And then I went and moved to Cork, as in like I lived at home still, but I went working in Cork. And in the meantime, with all of this, fell pregnant with my gorgeous son, Aaron. I was very, very young and it was kind of a very turbulent time, kind of like it was very, very kind of life changing. And I think when you said there a second ago about the many different kind of like changes, the old spring, the new spring, I think there actually has been quite a few. And kind of that was the first kind of change, I suppose, from one Sabrina into the next Sabrina.
And then
I sound a bit crazy when I say that.
No.
I kind of like on.
No, you don't, because I've seen it and I've come. We've had DMs and we've had conversations where I have seen a change in you, and me as one of your followers, I'm sure all of us have seen a change in you. And it's so lovely to see, like it's really, because we've watched you from the very beginning through it all. And it is so lovely to see. But let's take back to that, the very first change that you had. So how old were you having Aaron, and who's lovely in college and all that? Oh, God. But how old were you having Aaron, and what was that like breaking that news and all of that?
It was such a whirlwind. I didn't know Aaron's dad that very well at the start. We were very, very young. I was 20 years of age having Aaron. I was a baby myself. I remember even one of the midwives actually commenting while I was inside the bed going, she's very young. And I looked young and I was young because I was very lucky. I had quite a sheltered life. I was kind of innocent in one way as well. It was a massive change to my life. Like a humongous change. And there was a couple of things that I've mentioned in the past, kind of like that. I suppose I went to an all-girls school and some girls passed a comment when I was heavily pregnant, going, oh, are you still with the father? And are you still hairdressing? And these girls had gone off to university. So I know in my heart and soul that they didn't mean it the way that they said it. But to me, it was like nearly mean girls. Yeah. Like, so I took it up a bad way. And of course, that was just with insecurities that I actually had myself. At the time, it was terrible. But now I see that sometimes these things happen and they really are life's main drivers. And it's what drove me to kind of like succeed for the first change, and kind of what drove me further, especially at the early stages of my career. It was very rocky, though, at that stage. I didn't know how to communicate. And that's something that I'm like really proud of. Over the years that I've developed really good communication skills, because back then I couldn't kind of speak about the way I was emotionally affected throughout the whole lot. And it led to me being seriously depressed, and I ended up in hospital, which wasn't a nice place for a 20-year-old girl with a newborn baby. But with the help of my family, my family are amazing and had lots of therapy, and I came around from it. And do you know what? It did me very well, because I feel that there was a maturity in me around the age 25 that maybe a 35 or a 45 year old would have. And I suppose from the years of cognitive behavioral therapy that I did throughout my 20s, it actually turned me into a really good leader. A great understanding with communicating with people. Part of it was because I hate confrontation of any kind, so I'd always try and work around that way. But I think they should do cognitive behavioural therapy in schools.
I agree.
I really do believe that if a lot of people had the life skill of knowing how to communicate with people, we wouldn't be in situations. A lot of people wouldn't be in situations. There's very easy ways to speak with people so that they don't get defensive back at you, and you can actually control situations a lot easier, because like, who wants to be having crappy arguments or anything like that? So it's something that kind of I developed over those years that helped me and into the rest of my adult life.
And tell me then, as a, you know, obviously going to a Catholic school, all girls school, and just take it back, and I'm not going to dwell too, but on the past, but that is where you are today. And that's, as you said, with the therapy and the cognitive. Mm-hmm. I've said that word so many times and I still can't get it. Cognitive behavior therapy, it's terrible. What was
CBT?
CBT. Yeah. What was it like for you then, having to first realizing you were pregnant? Because this will probably help others out there, realizing you're pregnant at such a young age. Breaking it to your mom, who we all adore, like we absolutely love her, and I know that's exactly where you got support from. But what was it like in that moment? And yeah, what was that like?
Do you know what? Weirdly enough, and I think this may be because of Catholic guilt or the likes of that, I didn't really think much of my parents. I always had very supportive parents, so there was obviously a fear. But the one thing that I really remember for that time is my own thoughts. Your life is over. Mm. Your life is over. And I remember kind of like someone who was pregnant around the same time saying, oh, it's great. You can get loan parents and you know, you get so many benefits from this. And all I remember thinking was, do people think that I'm going to be like that? Do people think of, like, you know, I was raised by parents who were absolute such hard workers. And even though my dad worked for someone else, he treated that business as if it was his own, always did, great pride. And the thought of me kind of being in a position where I was going to be like getting benefits or that, I just couldn't stand the thought of other people thinking that about me, that I was taking advantage of that situation. Where like now a lot of people actually need these benefits, and there's nothing shameful in any way whatsoever when people actually need to get help financially or in any way kind of support from the government or anything like that. But back then there was like, as far as I was concerned, there was shame to it. So it wasn't even my parents or breaking it to my parents. I do remember telling my parents. I don't remember, they didn't shout at me or anything like that. I think they were in shock because I wasn't really after saying I was going out with anyone. Mm-hmm. So like, that was where the shock was. They were like, who?
Okay. How did
that
happen?
Kind of like the situation, but it was definitely all from within.
And that's hard, isn't it? And as you said there about the shame of it, you know, it's just, and you think my life is over. And I think just you're an example, and other people are so many examples that your life isn't over when you get pregnant so young. And even 20 is young, but even in Dublin, where I'm from, it's not even that young. Do you know what I mean?
Well, everywhere now, like when you hear that some 20-year-olds are pregnant, I don't actually automatically think that they're that young anymore, even. Other than that, sometimes it brings back floods of memories of the way I felt at the time. How would I describe it? It taught me a very important lesson, I suppose, very earlier on in life. I was always ruled with worrying about what other people thought of me. And I suppose being so kind of having so much anxiety about that and being so worried about what other people thought of me at such a young age made me care less as I got older. And I think that was a gift in itself. Kind of like I stopped worrying about people like, oh, she's so young, she's had a baby. It kind of made me realize that what was important and what's not important. Of course, it was a good couple of years later before that hit in lots of CBT. Yeah. And then kind of like I came round to that way of thinking.
And then tell me what it was like with you and Aaron, because now you're so close. And have you always been so close, like being just the two of you guys?
Well, do you know what? What I find about it is that it's probably... I know this is going to sound really weird to say this, but like my parents were so involved with helping me raise Aaron that my mother is almost like Aaron's second mother. Mm-hmm. So even like she's feeling it so much worse now that he's going to college. I'm like, oh, he'll be grand. He'll be fine. He needs to go out into the real world. Mm-hmm. But like there was a huge element of my parents allowing me to build my career, to socialize and to have a really good life. I'm forever grateful for that. So there is a little bit of kind of like Aaron and I were like, brother and sisters, yeah, who had an argument and the sister always won because she could throw it in his face. I'm your mother. Yeah. That kind of way. We are very close. We are. And I suppose being kind of closer to age does help as well. But we've always had a very good relationship, you know, a really, really good relationship. But there was like as if Aaron was lucky enough to have two mothers in that way.
Isn't that so lovely that your parents did let you go off and do that? And like we do owe a lot to them. We owe a lot to them. But yeah, that they let you go off and get like pave that career for you, you know?
And I did always value that. I did always was very grateful for that because I could see other people who didn't have that support. And my parents were very young as well. You know, my mum was very, very young and able to do it. I know now she'd be able to look after a baby the way she looked after Aaron that way. She was quite young. I was so lucky. God, I was so, so lucky to have that. But you know what? In the last few years, when it's just been myself and Aaron, I'm here, I value it even more. You know, I've been so, so lucky because they've been extra supportive and so as supportive as before, but we were able to rely on them a little bit more as well, especially with my work. Over the last couple of years, I used to travel a lot, not so much now, but like they've been really, really good that way.
I'd say for them, it was really exciting to actually have a baby in the house because there's only you and your brother. And then all of a sudden there's this baby in the house. I say that was just lovely for them.
And the newborn baby, because like myself and my brother are actually adopted. So like literally kind of like there was like having a newborn baby in the house as well. And like, you know, having someone that was pregnant in the house.
Yeah.
Because I lived at home as well. Like, so it's really special. Like that's a very special thing to go through and a really cool journey as well. So like, yeah, I suppose it was extra special as well on top of it.
God, that is fab. I actually didn't know you were adopted or you and your brother were adopted.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, the two of us are adopted. Yeah, yeah.
At what age did we?
I think it's more common from the 80s, 70s and 80s. Yeah. 80s, not 70s. 80s, baby. 80s. Clinging on for dear life, the 4-0s in a couple of weeks. Yeah, we are. It's never been an issue. I think kind of a lot of my cousins are as well. So, and it was very common back in the 80s. Do you know that kind of way? So it was never hidden or anything like that from us.
Well, what age were you adopted?
Babies. Babies.
And you knew that. You knew that all along, did you?
All raised that way, and my cousins are as well and everything like that, and they'd be a lot older, so there was never kind of anything shrouded around. You'd often hear sometimes of people kind of, I suppose, kind of finding out later. It was never a big deal, and I've never felt the urge to go into a delve into it or anything like that, you know. So we've always had very close relationships with our parents and get on great with them, and they are my mum and dad.
So you don't have a need to look for elsewhere?
No, I don't, to be honest with you. I actually don't. Yeah, I never, do you know what? Never really think about it. If that makes sense. So the way some people might have a longing or anything like that. I've never kind of like thought of my family unit being any other way in that way. So yeah, it's actually funny. Sometimes now when I say it, people, not so much now, but before, because I've said it online a couple of times, but a couple of people have said, oh my God, I'm so sorry. And I'm like, why are you sorry about it? So the way that people kind of apologize nearly, because you're not really delving. You're kind of like, you know, do you know, it's just something part of me, do you know, say the way it's, you have a birthmark or something yeah. like that, do you know, it's just part of me that I don't even look at it really.
And but that's a great attitude to have. And why would you have any other attitude? Why would people be sorry for your situation?
Ah, yeah. It's crazy. I know, that always confused me. I was kind of going, why are they sorry? Yeah.
So it would have been really special for your mom then to have a pregnancy in the house as well. That would have been yeah. lovely. Oh God.
Ah, yeah, except when she saw babies moving in the belly and she was like, what is that? Because if someone hasn't seen that or been up close to it, it can be a little bit funny.
Oh God. And come here, then tell me about your career. And so you moved into Cork, and where did you start to say, okay, I want to step out of this and start to go on my own? And how did that start? How did that journey start for you?
I think really kind of, I started hairdressing, as I said, in Framboy for a year, then kind of had Aaron, and then went working for, she was kind of like a family friend. My mom went to her to get her hair done when she was younger, but she opened a salon in the suburbs of Cork. So I went along and worked there. And then she was getting married and moving up the country, and the opportunity came that I could take over the salon myself. The salon's called Copper, which it still is now. Mm-hmm. So I inherited that salon in one way, and I worked there. So I started off with like one other stylist and a part-time junior. And I suppose over the next many years, I suppose nine years, and thereabouts, I ended up having 15 working there. So I built it up. I think from a very young age, I got to grips with social media. I think that's kind of like what was really important. And a lot of hairdressers were very much kind of like, let's say, doing hair or showing hair for other hairdressers. And I kind of really wanted to do hair and show hair and kind of like for other people, for clients, for people to educate them and see what they could have. And I started doing befores and afters. And it was something that I joined Instagram from the very beginning, and Facebook as well. And I could see that like these hairdressers, especially in America, were doing these befores and afters. And I was like, oh, that's cool. I'm going to recreate that. So I was kind of like the first hairdresser around Ireland, the UK, to do that. And I quickly, within a year or two, grew to 25,000 followers on Facebook. And then I could see the importance. I could really see the importance of social media there and how quick that was in its growth, that when Instagram launched, I also was kind of like, okay, this is going to be something big, because Instagram is something that's far more creative. At the time, back at the very start, Instagram was only images. Mm-hmm. So what am I doing on Facebook is images. Let's do them over on Instagram. And instantly my audience, because it was very American based, my audience started growing very, very quickly. And it just kind of evolved from there, because when I started to see hairdressers doing what kind of like I did, I would start going, well, I need to start doing something new. And the one thing is, like, I always had to be ahead of the game. So I'd start doing maybe some videos. And then when other hairdressers started doing videos, I was like, well, I'm going to talk about it. And I'm going to come on and talk about it. And then, of course, there was bits of my life kind of starting as well. And that's how kind of like how the salon evolved and how it got so much bigger. And I suppose social media really kind of like, it instilled in my brain that social media works, and you can be a very good hairdresser, but you could still create a story about a salon. And that was when I decided that I needed to have a bigger salon. I needed to kind of create something that was in my brain, and I needed to have that. And it took me about 5 years to find the perfect site to have the salon. And with the help of really good real estate agents here in Cork, we found the right space, because I wanted to start something from scratch. So it was a really big undertaking. It took about 5 years. And the salon that we have now inside in the middle of Cork City is Copper, and is my absolute, what the big dump in my brain just came out. And that's what it was. And I'm terribly proud of that. Terribly, terribly proud of it.
And who's your go-to? Like, who are you bouncing ideas off? Who are you having the chats with? Who, like, is it your mom? Is it, I know you've really good friends as well. So who is it that you're bouncing those ideas off?
So with regards kind of like anything business-wise, I mean, I remember, okay, I suppose the best way to describe this is before I had to go into the bank for a meeting for something and they wanted to do a risk assessment. And they gave this big load of questions and they asked me all of these questions. It was for pensions. And I was the biggest risk taker that they had ever assessed. I was like, I put all the money in. Let's do it. Let's go. Mm. So when it comes to business, I get an idea and I go with it. I'm one of these people that just goes with it. Mm. So the last people that you want to talk about things with are your family. Right. And it's just because they love you so much that they will burst your bubble. No, you'll think they're bursting your bubble, but it comes from a place of love with them. So I had a really good friend of mine told me one time, don't tell your parents anything until you have all the answers for the questions that they will ask you. And it's something that I advise all young people nowadays, that if they have a great idea, that if they have something in their head and they want to go with it, write down all the questions that you think your mom and dad will ask you and have the answers to them, because your parents will always ask the right questions because it comes from a place of love and protecting you. And if you can answer these questions, that means that you're okay. You're protecting yourself that little bit. So I tend to always talk to people who, I suppose, who are on a similar level to me, risk-wise, because I would really understand kind of like, if I'm really worried or anxious about something, they'll know what kind of anxiety I'm feeling and they will always have the solution. You should be very, very careful who you talk to, especially about business ideas and stuff like that. One of the main people that I do always talk to is Lisa, who owns Verso. And okay. You know her as well.
On, Verso Fashions,
I know her a long, long time. And Sandra Murphy as well. Sandra Murphy, two friends that I go back over a decade, all business owners, all women. All of us have been through so much in our lives between failing businesses doing extremely well, lots of hurt, lots of, you know, risk taking, lots of really good things as well. But like, after I speak with those people, I always come away feeling so much like so good. In recent years, another person that I do a huge amount of bouncing off of is Jennifer Rock.
Okay.
I regularly have lots of calls with her, and I just find that like when we chat to each other, we're just like, it's like word vomit. Everything comes out and there's really good support there that way. I find Pat Phelan from Sisu has always been very, very good as well, clinics, and he's someone lately that I've had great chats with, and we'll kind of like literally just go, no,
yeah,
no, don't do that. Or Yage, you know, will help.
You're
you
very
know.
Lucky, so they're the kind Sabrina, of people, aren't you? You're very lucky.
Why?
Because you're really good friends. Like, you're really good. And I know you probably have worked for those friendships as well. And it's a two-way street.
I probably lost 5 times that amount of people in my life. I probably have a lot of people that, no, I do know that there's a lot of people out there that have called me different things like hungry and kind of for stuff and kind of, I suppose, probably won't mention too much more about what, yeah, but like literally would see me as people, you know, would see me as something not nice, I suppose, is the best way. But I would just say that I was very, very focused on things. And I've been through an awful lot of my life as well, where in times of need, you really find out who's important,
yeah,
and who's constant and who reaches out to you. And you get hurt by an awful lot of people as well. It's something I don't dwell on now, and I see as a gift in one way. Do you know, it's basically like, I suppose, when the weeds are out, the garden will grow. And it's a situation like that, that there's an awful lot of things and people that can hold you back, because I'm a people pleaser and I'm a fixer. I remember sitting on a bus one time, I was on a business trip, and there was a group of Irish girls, and I remember one of the girls was quite drunk. And she said, now I'm going to tell each and every one of you, you know, why I really love you. And she said, you're the funny one, and you're the one I want to go drinking with. And all, she went through everybody. Oh, you're the one I trust. I tell you anything, kind of that kind of way. And she turned to me and she goes, you're the problem solver. If I had a problem, I'd come to you. You'd solve it like that. And it was actually the biggest compliment that anyone could give me, because and I do see it. Yeah. I'm a natural fixer. Sometimes I have to stand back because I try to fix everything. And I get very, very anxious and worried if there's I'm in a situation that I can't fix. And I've had to realize, especially over the last 3-4 years, that there are some problems that you just can't fix, and some problems that just aren't yours to hold on to, that aren't mine to hold on to, but like you just need to give them back and have other people be accountable for their problems. But God, I'm even losing my own train of thought.
No, but you're like,
but I suppose
you're saying there that
I
you
do
know,
find with people that like people have come and gone in my life for the right reason. When you were saying I'm lucky to have those people, it hasn't been without a hell of a lot of hurt as well. That I'd be able to talk about now, if that makes sense. I wouldn't have before. I would have been scared of that. Or one person who I'm actually not friendly with anymore turned around to me one time when I was telling her a story about someone that I wasn't particularly friendly with at that time, or that had fallen out with. And she said to me, "Do you know that you always like have so many friends, and you're always kind of like making new friends, and then you fall out with them?" And I can see now that that was from a place of massive insecurity on her part. And going back again to what I said at the very, very start, there has been so many changes in my life that sometimes parts of your life open up to leave people in, and that's good for you right there. And like, I'm now at a part of my life where I know that there isn't going to be too much of a huge change for the rest of my life. I now know, and I'm comfortable where I am, that the people that are in it are there for good.
Yeah.
They're there forever. You know that, and that's a huge thing. Even though there's people in my life that are only there like a year or 2 years and stuff, I know now that they're there for good. They're good people and they have my back. And I think especially with the biggest
Go on. you're fine. But you knowing that now, how easy is it for you to trust people and let people into your life now?
Very easy, because I know the difference between a true friend and an acquaintance.
How?
Doesn't mean that they know the difference, but I know the difference. I know the difference. I think one of the biggest things as well is that like having an online life, a lot of people think that you're putting everything out there. And it's your close friends that even like, you know, like, do you know what I mean? That you don't put everything out there. And it is as simple as that. If Kylie Jenner can get away with having a pregnancy from start to finish and having a child without anyone in the world knowing, then each and every one of us can have that kind of life as well. Someone asked me recently on one of those pop-up questions, just do I mind kind of like, you know, do people ask an awful lot of questions? And I was like, I don't mind at all. Irish people are nosy by nature. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I put myself out there, you know, to a certain extent. And if I don't like a question, I just don't answer it. I say it politely. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, I don't talk about that part of my life. It's personal, but like, thanks for your message and stuff like that. And I think that there is an element of, over the last couple of years, because of certain gossip sites and because of certain things that online things, I think one of the most kind of the biggest things I've kind of like, but the biggest things that I've taken from that is that there's a huge amount of things in my life that haven't ended up on these websites. Yeah. And I'm like going, well, none of my friends are talking. Mm. Because it's like there was talking up to a certain point, and then all of a sudden there was nothing else on it. And the garden, when the weeds go out, the garden will grow.
Sabrina, that was
proof of it.
That's the first time I've heard that saying. Do you know that?
Oh, it's brilliant.
And it's so true. It's in what you've just said. Yeah. It's so true. It's like Colleen Rooney and your woman when she was like sharing everything on stories and she was sending everything to her and they were in the papers. It's mad. It's just bonkers to me.
But there is an element as well, though, that like, if you don't want it out, don't post it at all, not even into your close friends.
Yeah.
That there is an element of that as well. Now, it's grey, such a grey area. Mm. Do you know, it's so grey. There's some things that horrify me. And then there's other things where I think, do you know what, girl, you put yourself out there.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it,
do you know, someone said to me there recently, listen, love, Instagram isn't real life. And I was like, no, I disagree. I disagree because you tell them what you tell them and you keep stuff to yourself that you do. And you do that with your friends. Like, I'm sure some of your closest friends, even Sandra, they probably don't know every single little thing about your life. There is some things that you keep to yourself. So I personally think that sometimes, or do the girls know everything about you, or is there some things that you keep to yourself?
No, they'd know. There's a few of them that know. There's four of them that would know absolutely everything about me, and I'd know absolutely everything about them.
Yeah.
And it's something kind of like take to the grave, or you kind of get a phone call, oh, I killed someone. I'd be like, okay, well, I bring my shovel.
Yeah.
It's that kind of situation.
Yeah.
Ride or die. But they would, but it kind of goes back to the whole thing as well as what do people think they are to you?
Yeah.
There's a lot of people that would think you're their. You know, I'm friends with everyone, but there's a big difference between friends and acquaintances. I don't think people understand that until they're a lot older. Mm. A lot of the time, I've just been lucky to learn it at a younger age.
And how would you give some advice to someone who has been let down by friends? Like, what would you say to them, you know, other than your lovely saying that you say, but how would you deal with it?
Okay, I think the only way around it is that you can tell someone to think this and to think that and to kind of bump them up. And at the time when it happens, the hurt is so much that it's very, very overwhelming. I think you physically have to do things such as immediately take that person off your favorites list on your phone and replace it with another friend and ring them. Don't talk about the person that you've removed. Ring them. And let's say if you've removed Jenny from the block and you've put in Taylor Swift in now, ring Taylor, go for coffee with Taylor. Do not talk about Jenny from the block. You have to fill the void, and it's a lot easier. It's kind of like when people say, like, there's a small ring of truth to it when someone, I don't know, finishes with a boyfriend and someone says, oh, go back on Tinder. And they're kind of like, oh, no, I can't.
Yeah.
But then about a week later, they do.
Yeah.
You're replacing something. So it's actually similar with friendship, especially with female friendships. I think you actually physically have to do something about it to ease your pain. I think that's very important. Because there's an awful lot of people that will get into this rut where they overthink and have scenarios. And if you did go back talking to her, what would you say to her? What would she say back to you? What would you say back to that? And next thing you have one of these little trains going around and around and around inside your head. That's a dangerous place to be in. That's when you lose control. Because a lot of people say that control is a dirty word. Control is a very good word. It's a good thing if you're using it for good use. You're controlling a situation as best as you can. Replace that friend. I know it sounds cruel, but I would, to a certain point, if someone isn't good for me, I'm so precious. I've been hurt before. I've been used before. I can't let myself go back there. I know what it feels like, and I don't want to go back there again. I will just pull myself away and go in another direction. That's very, very important that people realize that.
And have you gone back to the CBT then over the years to help you be the person you are now, or?
No, funnily enough, no. And it was actually a friend said it to me a while back, just with a lot of life changes over the last couple of years. She goes, do you think you should?
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
To go back for therapy or back for counselling. I think I've had too much therapy. That's weird. I think, do you know what? With what I do every day, I really do practice what I preach. It's like, you know, half the time I think I'm such a good hairdresser is because I'm an educator. I educate in hairdressing. So I'm like literally continuously kind of like, I suppose, kind of like teaching someone, therefore I will practice it better that way. And I think that from being, having to be a good leader inside like a salon where there's lots of young people working, and we do have young people who get like upset from time to time over different life scenarios, and you do find yourself that you're nearly kind of working in a way that you're nearly giving therapy. And once you practice that a lot, it becomes better. And of course, life experience as well help you deal with things a whole lot better. I haven't gone back. I don't think it's anything that I need, but I know in a way, part of me feels I have very, very good friends and I don't feel like a burden. I'll pick up the phone and talk to them, and that's half the battle. If I want to stop talking to them and I'm afraid to share something, that's when I need to go back for therapy and counselling.
So you're very self-aware right now, which is fantastic. And I don't
I have to be.
Yeah. I don't think a lot of people are.
I think I've split myself so much with all the businesses, with being online, with being a single mother and feeling a lot of pressure of doing things on my own and kind of like the responsibility of looking after so many people in a business and kind of and a home myself, you know, all of that kind of thing, is that you have to start kind of like, I suppose, kind of like really minding yourself. I know what it's like to get to that bottom point. So like, it's really, really important not to get back there again. But a lot of it is something Brian Keane had a really good podcast that I listened to years and years ago. It's embarrassing to admit, but I've only listened to one of his ever. That's the one I listened to. It was about negative people. And he said, you are the five people that you hang around with. And if you can really, truly, and I mean this now, count on your hand the five people, like it's been scientifically proven that if you're friends with five overweight people, the likelihood is that you're going to be overweight. If you're friends with five really rich people, the likelihood is that you're going to be rich. I don't know, like I'm not a huge believer in the law of attraction when it comes to manifesting things. It's just not for me. I work very hard for what I have. And I go get it, you know, that kind of way. I don't believe it'll magically come to me. But in the same way, when we talk, when you look at the people that are in your life, you're like a sponge. Do you know what I mean? You soak up a lot of what you hang around with. If you hang around with people that go out and drink every weekend or even during the week, you'll eventually fall into that lifestyle. So it's, I think that's hugely important to really assess that on a regular basis. Like really assess it.
Do you know what? I'm like, real talk, Sabrina Hill, because I right now, and this is like, I do have a slight problem with toxic positivity. I've a little problem with, I get it. And if that's your bag, that's your bag. But I'm like, I'm very much like you. It won't magically come to you. So you need to get out and work for it. And that's the one thing. And right now there's a lot of that around, which I think can be quite upsetting, and people believe if they manifest something and it doesn't come true for them. It's like, so but what did you do while you were manifesting? Did you just manifest or did you work hard to get
it? Yeah. I think manifesting is brilliant if you're working towards that goal. And do you know what it is? It's like, to be honest with you, when it comes to that, there's certain aspects of it I love, because if you don't, it's like if you get into the car and you're told to go to this place and you're like, but like put into your sat nav, I'm like, but where are we leaving from? Do you want to do the coastal route? What kind of like, you know, what are we driving? How, like, you know, you need to have direction. And then from a manifestation point of view, I think that's bloody amazing. like it was one business, I love analogies, love them. And one of the best ones I've ever heard was that I was doing business mentoring with someone and they turned around and they said to me, can I ring someone from your salon, while I was in a meeting with them. And I was like, oh yeah. Yeah, no problem. So there was a girl I called Tracy working with. Can I ring Tracy? And I'm like, oh yeah. I'm like, what are you going to ask her? I'm going to ask, like, you know, I want to know, does she know where you're going? I was like, what? And she said, well, have you told her? Have you said where the business, what direction the business is going? And I'm like, yeah, she knows. And he goes, okay, give me your phone. I want to ring her and ask her. And I was like, maybe she won't know how to answer that. And he goes, is that she won't know how to answer it? Or have you actually told her? Because if like there's 10 of you on a boat, okay, and you're all going to the island, you want to go to the island over there, it'll only take one person to start putting their oar in a different direction because they want to go to the island over there and they'll slow down the whole team. And it was a really, really good way of kind of like figuring out that people need to know, you need to tell people, you need to let them know the direction you're going for everybody to get on board, because not everybody wants to be going to that island. Some people like going to cold spots of the world. So like literally put them on their own little boat, give them a boat. Wish them well, wish people well, and leave them go on their merry way, because you don't want them slowing you down. And I think kind of in that, that was one of the most important actually kind of lessons I ever learned, for me to tell people exactly what I'm thinking and to not be afraid. And I suppose that works for kind of like in life as well with friends, doesn't it?
Mm. Is that a testament to your success, do you think?
I think... what would I say testing to my success? I think really communication, really, really good communication. I see an awful lot of people I know, and the way they run businesses. I don't like the way they talk to staff. I don't like the way that they kind of like do their business that way. You know, you don't get the best out of people that way. And I think that Shan Horan told me a great thing once, she said, shit rolls down.
Mm-hmm.
I was... unbelievably good. That like I think it's a testament to myself that I walk in every day, and sometimes it's not about hairdressing, it's just about being in a good mood and to make sure that that filters and passes down through everyone, and for having my office door open for communicating and for minding people. I think that's, I always minded people.
And the thing is,
even sometimes they might felt it,
but like you were an educator first, so you weren't the first to be an educator across Ireland, weren't you? Mm-hmm. As well, you said that that was a business that you had as well.
Denise and I, yeah, we set up Business of Hair a couple of years ago. We saw a gap in the market for educating, and I think a big thing about that, and we actually gave like great talks even in the UK in London at different hair events and industry events, where we spoke about two people collaborating from business that should be rivals, and the two of us coming together, and we did an awful lot of training with our own staff and with her staff and with my staff, and other hairdressers started asking. So we educated throughout Ireland and in the UK, and we both worked together for different international companies and got to travel the world. So lucky. It's something that Denise, my hair wife, has continued on. She loves educating, and I do too. I just don't have time for it anymore. I think the pandemic really changed my priorities, and some life changes, getting separated, really changed my priorities as well about where I needed to spend my time and what I wanted to do. Obviously, my online life went sky high. In the middle of lockdown, along with many other really well-known influencers that are around today. And I suppose it gave me different types of opportunities and it allowed me to work from home as well. Because the one thing, the biggest thing actually, the biggest change, the biggest thing I've learned about myself is the most precious thing to me is time. Time spent with loved ones, time for myself, just spending time, and time, you can't get time back. You can give it away, but you can't get it back, you know. So living in hotels and airport lounges don't look as glassy or glittery for me anymore. So working in my online is way, way better.
And then tell me, talk about your online. And it was just such a proud moment. And I know you're a panelist on Elaine and stuff like that. But what was it like to get the phone call to say that you were going to be on with Phil and Holly? What was that like? What was that like? I just watched it back there and I was like, oh my God.
I thought someone was taking the piss out of me. That's exactly what I thought. I had COVID.
Yeah, you did.
I had COVID at the time. No, I had COVID when I got the message. I got an email, and I thought someone was literally taking the piss out of me. I really did know. Like, I was like, I go, where's that? But then I searched the girl, and I was like, I went onto her page, and I was like, oh my God, she's actually like friends with George Clooney. And then I realized that this person was like real, and she was a producer for ITV. And it happened all very, very quickly. Obviously, it was like a week's time. And I did the first one from home. I did the second one from the salon. And then eventually there was a crew brought into the salon. And yeah, it was magical. And it was kind of one of those moments where I don't get nervous very often. I shit myself. I never get being so nervous, like so nervous. Especially the last time when the crew was in the salon, I was just sweating. It's so different, because you do, Elaine, with me as well. And you know yourself, we're kind of just used to it and it's grand and everything. It's very, very different. So you have your ear pierced and you can hear producers as well. So obviously you're just obviously doing the job that like Elaine has on the Elaine show. Yeah. Like, you're hearing so much going on and you're being timed down and told your time and everything, and they're talking to cameraman as well and stuff like that. It's a very, very different world. Very organized. Very proud to say that it won't be my last time. Going to be doing a little bit more, and this time in studio in London. So actually kind of like with Holly and Phil. So that's like, yeah, I know. Actually, the minute that they were chatting to me about it, I was like, excuse me. There. Like, literally don't know how I cope with that. But like, that's massive. It was probably, at the very start of my career, could think of so many things I could have said. There's so many things that you want to do, such as like have your own brand of like, you know, shampoos or whatever like that, or have kind of like, let's say, kind of, I don't know, maybe your own salon. Or if I could dream up of all the most magical things, I would never have thought that it would be on TV. And if truth be told, I actually love being on TV. And if I had my time back, I probably would have done journalism and actually trained to become a TV presenter, because it's something that I actually really love and find actually quite natural. But I like doing it.
Because you are a natural.
Oh, and the camera.
Yeah, no, I love, as I said, I love seeing you on Elaine, and I love seeing you on Phil and Holly. And I just, like, the last time when the camera was there and the shot that you have on Instagram and you're there, I was like, I'm so proud of you. And I'm sure that all your followers are so proud of you as well. But what was Mary like when you told Mary, I'm going to be not only on Irish TV, but I'm going to be on across the UK as well? What did she have to say for herself?
Well, do you know what? It was in the middle of lockdown, so nobody was going anywhere when it happened. But like, my dad was like ringing my aunt, tune in, my uncle, tune in, everybody, like, from like, it was a big, big deal. And it was like so cool, because I was like, afterwards we found out the first time that I had been on, it was the highest viewership ever. And there was Donal Skean was on, and who else? There was some other Irish person. Like, all the Celts were after overtaking. And
it's like the ITV. Chef Katrina, is that what's her name? There's a chef, she was on.
Clodagh
was on as well.
Oh,
yeah.
Well, Clodagh wasn't on that day, because I was only chatting to Clodagh the other day. She only does Wednesdays, I think. Mm. Clodagh does Wednesdays on the show. So no, it's really, really cool. It's an amazing opportunity. I'm going to be doing more of it, and to be part of the This Morning family is like mad.
It's mad.
Mad. Yeah.
So in that said, then, take me through that. You've now stepped away from a lot of things to concentrate on online. So how did you make that? Was it a very easy decision for you? Or how was that decision?
Do you know what? I was very lucky that, like, okay, so out of all the things, time became very, very important to me, and how much was my time worth, I suppose. And I think that I knew as soon as the online started to really, and I started working as an influencer as well, and when I got an agent and all of this kind of things, the opportunities that I had, that I really had to assess, you know, what was worth my time. I know it sounds terrible, but I couldn't spit myself any further than I could. So I had stopped doing New Hair Revolution, which was my online company. And the reason for that is that I talk about hair online and I get about 300 or 400 messages in one night.
God.
And I'm the type of person that gets anxiety when I see those little dots. So I'm inside in bed at 2 a.m. Answering back. I couldn't do that anymore. And as well as that, there were so many middlemen when it came to buying in products. That, like, literally, there's some people that can do it very well and they have massive companies, but, like, there's always distributors in the way. So I was actually at a loss doing it. Mm. And I didn't really want to go down the line then of kind of having my own range of products, because I always said that I wanted to, like, get myself to a certain point, and I wanted to work with scientists, and I'd want to, if I ever did go down the line of doing my own range. Education was the one standard thing that took me away from home. And I told at the start of the pandemic, I rang my bosses, my lovely bosses over in Holland, because I worked in Eindhoven and all around Europe with Joico, and I just said that I would be stepping down because I really felt that it would benefit someone else, you know, to step into that role as one of the artistic directors, to kind of working that way. And then I was very lucky that I think Denise kind of knew. She really, really knew that my heart wasn't in it. And I think there was a time where my heart wasn't in hairdressing. And I think that's because we've been through kind of like two horrendous years business-wise. And I got so disillusioned by everything. And I was one of these people that kind of wanted to stay at home and cocoon myself and bubble myself up. And Denise kind of understood, wanted to continue. And she's so good because she's so straightforward. She was like, give me an answer. Think about it for 2 days and give me an answer. And she knew as well that I was going to step back from educating, not my own salon, but kind of like nationally for a while. And it's not saying that it won't be forever, but as of right now, I'll be honest with you, I'm going to say straight out, I'm doing everything by myself. I'm a single mother. I have a child going to college. There's a lot of responsibility. I don't think any business person should overlook the fact that we're now entering a really scary 2 years ahead of us. Business-wise, I think salon owners, anyone in hospitality should be very, very scared. There's a lot of money in the country right now, but that's going to run out fairly quickly. I don't think people realize that. So I really want to maybe ensure that the work and run the business very well, the salon very well, and then concentrate on my online work. And also I'll have a lot of other stuff that's going to be going on, like TV wise and stuff with the online work. So I want to make sure that I have enough time for everything. Talk about making myself busy.
I know, but you know what? You're on the right path. You know where your focus is. You know where you're going to get results. And it's great to see. It's really great to see. Tell me a little bit about your copper team. So who is your right-hand people in there?
Everybody is. Everybody is. If you took all those juniors out in the morning and didn't have them there, just the senior stylists would drop dead. Everybody is. I suppose that I have one of my long-term friends that I know since school, Paula. She's a salon manager and she runs the place like clockwork. It's absolutely amazing. And I have other managers throughout the salon, Aoife and Anne-Marie, and then all the rest of the team. Emma has been there for years. That I can't even mention. There's so many of them. And do you know what? I have been very, very lucky. Even people who worked for me in the past were always extremely good to me, and extremely good to the salon and believed in the brand. Very, very lucky with the team that we have. It's hard. I'm not going to sugarcoat it. It's a shit job sometimes. And it's very, very hard being in business. And I found the last couple of years particularly very hard being a business. Anyone that will tell you that has a large salon, and even a salon of my kind, the overheads are crazy. And don't ever go into the salon business if you think you're going to make a load of money, because, like, you know, you can be comfortable, but it's definitely something that I spent an absolute fortune doing. I'm so proud of it. I will never give it up. I love it. I think a lot of people in the last year or so has been kind of like going, oh, are you stepping away from it? I'm not stepping away from it. I never step away from copper. That's my baby. I've been there watching that grow all the time, and I'll always be there. But it's hard. It's hard work. It's worrying sometimes. It's the best way.
And before COVID, was there, and even in the very start of the journey with copper, was there a point that you ever wanted to give up? And do you have any advice for anyone who is looking to step up the way you stepped up?
I think you go back to, again, not feeling a burden and picking up the phone to people. Picking up the phone to people to kind of like read it that you know so well. Lisa has been very good at me. I remember when we were going opening the salon after the first lockdown. One of my best friends, Adam, he actually works in the salon. He's who owns the dog.
Yeah, gorgeous.
He's so good to me, and I'm good to him. We're all good to each other. But like literally, I remember being down on the ground inside the disabled toilet at the salon. Literally, but do you know what triggered it? the middle of COVID, they had to take away the coffee machine because we had that rented. We had a whole barista and a bar set up. You could have gin, Prosecco, you could have everything in my salad because that was part of my dream. And they came to take the coffee machine away, and the guy turned around to Adam and said, "Are you actually closing down?" And Adam goes, "No, we're opening on Tuesday." But it was enough to set me off because part of my dream was being taken out. This coffee machine was such a thing that I had wanted to do, and I quietly slipped away down into the disabled toilet, and I ended up kneeling on the ground. I was in the fetal position. I was in convulsions. I was in an awful state, and Adam and rang Lisa, and Adam and Lisa picked me up off the ground. I'll never forget that, actually. Picked me up off the ground. I was in an awful state. And you know what? If you have the right people, they will talk to you. They'll calm you down and they'll talk sense to you. That's the most important thing. The only thing I can say to people, if they're started out in any type of business right now, the first 4 years are the hardest, right? You'll spend the next 3 years making excuses for employees. You will, right? Okay. And you get to the point then of 10 years later, you're like, was I that fool that put up with that? And then you realize that the only way around it was actually saying it at the time and not thinking about it for a week at home and building up this atmosphere between people. It's actually saying, do you know what? I really appreciate you, but I don't like the way that you're doing this. And we need to change that because this is my vision and we're on this boat. Because you see that island over there, we're going to that island. Do you want to go to a different island? Because that's okay too. So you have your conversation and you just have the right people around you to give you confidence.
I feel like so many people are going to get so much out of this. They really are, because just those little drops of wisdom that you're given is just fantastic. Can I ask you about COVID and one, COVID, what that was like, and then long COVID, which is a real thing. Mm. And then when you spoke about it, was there a backlash from online? Did people like, because we have the anti-vaxxers and we have all them out there, or how did you deal with that?
Do you know what? One person told me that they hoped me and Aaron would die. Oh no, come on. They were like literally one of these like fake accounts. Like, oh, I mean, stop now. It was one. Genuinely, it was one. And I kind of did a little bit of a poof and a laugh. And I went, here, I'll go back and drink my G&T there. Literally, I'm like a rhinoceros. Things just bounce off me. There was nobody. No, I got no backlash whatsoever. I think we were at a time where there was a lot of people that didn't think that they would be affected by it. I was one of those that just thought it was a dirty thing, COVID, and stay away from me and this and that. And it just went to prove that when my family, that we got it on Christmas Day, we didn't even touch each other. There was no hugging. It just goes to show you, the doctor said it was like you got a jar of glitter, you opened it up and put it on the coffee table and just left it there. Every single person that left that room after that half hour that we spent there had a dot of glitter on us somewhere. And that's how easy it was, and it happened. I don't know how I stayed out of hospital. I think the only way I stayed out of hospital was the fact that I had no breathing issues. Even though I've had pneumonia before, I had no breathing issues. And I am so grateful for that. But I was so ill. Oh my God, I was so, so sick. When I hear people out going, oh, it's only a little bit of a flu, I like literally. See, I think the difference is, well, maybe in my career, I know so many people who've lost their dads and who have lost their relatives. So I just stay quiet now because I know that when people say these things, it comes from a place of ignorance. It just comes that they just haven't been around people or understand what it's done to people's lives. And I just think that we're going to be feeling the after effects of that for a long time, as well as long COVID. I was sick for a very long time, and I can honestly say I didn't start feeling better until I had my vaccines. And since my second vaccines, every single bit of long COVID has disappeared.
Really?
Disappeared. I went to the point of where I can't explain the fatigue. I'd get into the house and I knew I wouldn't be able to make it up the stairs. I was bent down over, couldn't move, nothing. And that went on for months. And you know me, how fit I am. Mm. I would hike mountains, climb mountains, hike all the time. There would be nothing more, like I would have done a workout here at home and then I would have gone for, let's say, a quick jog around the forest and come home. I haven't been able to work out since. It's so upsetting. I'm upset with, you know, with that I can't do that. And it's going to be very hard to get back into it. I will get back into it at some stage, but I just wasn't well enough at all.
Were you scared?
That happened, the fatigue. No, I never got scared, but I got very, and I couldn't say depressed, but very defeated. You know? I was like, literally, is this ever going to end? Like when the aura migraines came, oh, that was really, really bad, because then I kind of got to the point of where I literally stopped speaking. I think when I work, when I was kind of like getting back into work, and one of the girls would come over and start saying something to me, and I genuinely, no words would come out of my mouth. I could not get words out of my mouth of what I wanted to say. And I was like, And then I just had to laugh or whatever like that. It was just such a strange thing. And immediately after what happened, I would have to go to sleep. I would have to lie down and go to sleep. And eventually I would wake up. I remember sitting, eating food with my eyes closed. Really, really, really strange. Terrible, not having any control. And there's not much that people could do for you, really, bar having like brain scans and the likes of that, which everyone knew were going to turn it really clear and stuff like that. So actually, I didn't even go for the brain scan in the end, because I got my vaccine and everything just stopped. And it was very, very clear to me that, like, literally, that it was part of the effects of COVID. I know some people who have very, very bad problems with hearts and around medication at the moment due to long COVID. It really is something that's very, very serious. I've never had issues with anti-vaxxers, or I've never had anything. I don't really get any backlash for anything. I think there was one time I said something completely wrong and I got a lot of backlash, and I understood that, and I kind of came on and apologized, and then there was still backlash. And what I had to realize is that there's an awful lot of people that were just angry in general, and no matter what you can say, you can't appease that situation. And I have to be mindful that sometimes you can upset people, that they might have an opinion of you, and that is okay too, do you know. I would have that about people too, do you know? So kind of, I've been very, very lucky online that I generally get no backlash about anything.
Good. I want to ask, because I've kept you for a really long time. I'm sorry, I've just cut across you there.
Right. No, I talk all night. That's the problem.
So I do want to ask a couple of things. So the first thing, you know, is that we've seen you so, so happy. Are you happy? Because you look very happy.
I have never been happier in my whole life. I really, really haven't. Just all the right people are in my life now. I'm just so, so happy. And such a sense of peace that I feel like that I'm the most I've ever been, and the realest I've ever been with people. And you know what? Like, especially over the last 12 months, Paula, who works with me, just said, your laugh changed.
Yeah,
you, like, there's a heartiness in your laugh, and she said it's so lovely. She knows me since I'm 15, so it's like, for her to say that, that's a major thing. And I actually nearly feel my laugh. I sleep so well.
Good.
I sleep so much better as well. So yeah, so happy.
Good. The other two things: when are we getting a Sabrina eat? I absolutely love watching you eat. And I DM'd you, and I was here. Like, oh my God.
I can't win because somebody gave out to me yesterday for being too thin.
Stop.
I've actually got up a dress size from eating. I've got a love pudge. It's just gone on me all over now, like, literally. Do you know what? I love my food, but I need to start working out.
I love those
restaurants
videos.
Open. I'm out all the time.
I need to see more of those videos.
Like those eating videos.
I love them.
Love food. Yeah. I love food. Love food.
And Sabby Notes. Are we getting more Sabby Notes?
You are getting more Sabby Notes. Probably something really big is coming up at the end of the year to do with that. That there will be something. I love a good quote. I do love a good quote. And actually, someone asked me recently, so I should start doing them again. I just haven't had time. But there is something related to Sabby Notes that is going to come up at the end of the year, something that I've been working on. Hadn't seen. That sounds really bad that I say that. I sound like a blogger.
Very, very exciting. Very exciting. And then, can I ask you, have you ever said, what are your tattoos? What are they? What do you have? They meaning? Ooh. I love the heart. What, where and when and why?
So there's other people who have the heart.
Okay.
Some with it, some not. Okay. Anymore. And if you actually hold hands, your hand is always on your heart.
Oh, okay.
So that's the meaning of that one. This is so weird. That's the copper logo.
Fab.
But also why it's a crown is because my name, Sabrina, actually means legendary princess. Would you be able? Mary didn't even know it. She didn't even know the meaning. Legendary princess. That's why I have crowns. I have to have a crown here. I have a crown on this side as well.
Funny. Brilliant. There. Love it.
Yeah, I have crowns and things everywhere. And then this one is a lotus flower. And I think lotus flower meaning is beautiful, that it grew up through a load of muck and kind of, you know, got through a load of things. So that's what they are. Do I have any more? Oh, I have one. I have them all over my body. I don't really show them anymore. A lot of them, they're all over the place. Little bits of me.
And one thing that just came to mind there, can I ask you, because your persona is getting bigger and bigger and in the UK, across the UK and Ireland, and it's going to get bigger. Is there a worry do you think the adoption, is that going to, people going to start reaching out for you or reaching out? Do you think that's going to happen or not?
No, I think it would have happened before now if it was going to. It's not something that I would be interested in. Even if someone kind of like came to me now, I'd be like, no, that's okay. Thank you very much. Just wouldn't be something that I would be too interested in or anything like that. I know each to their own. Loads of people love to know. It's not something that I would seek out. And if anyone came to me, I just wouldn't be interested. I do feel that it would have come up before now.
Yeah.
If it was to, if that makes sense. It would have.
So before I let you go, the future is bright. The future is like legendary princess Sabrina Hill. I think you need to own that, girl. Own that. You already do own it. But so the future is bright. And where is your 5 years? Where is it? Aaron going off to college, breaking your heart, but giving you more time to do things as well, no?
Yes, I always used to forecast kind of a couple of years ahead. I can't do that anymore. Actually, if I do now, I'd be giving loads of stuff away.
No, don't. Just tell me that you're excited.
Yeah, God, I am. I'm very, very excited. I'm very, very excited. I think there'll be big, big changes within the next 12 months professionally, though. Massive changes, new things added on to what I have already. So kind of like, watch this space.
Lips are sealed. The key is thrown away and you are going to just go out and smash it as you always do. Sabrina Hill, thank you so much for sitting down with me. You're very kind.
Thank you. Thanks so much for having me. Thank you.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Late bloomers tend to have more curiosity. They tend to have more resilience.
There's stories and mythology that this country has woven around Black men.
This is the cavalry, right? These are the leaders, the hometown heroes and local leaders. And we are.
It's a survival mechanism to just be like worried of police.
What if everything we've been taught is just all wrong?
What's worth more than this fear right now?
And that rising after failure is part of the glory of being a human being.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.